South Australia put on a welcome for me. They gave me 100 degrees temperature, that's the old measurement, every day I was there. And in fact, some of the days were 104. So that was a good welcoming present for me. The theme this morning is, what is heaven like? I don't know whether you ever think about heaven. If you're young, you're full of life, you're full of the program of your lives day by day, and I doubt whether you ever think about the life to come. If we're older, that's all we think about. What is heaven like? Well, you know, the Christian hope is something that should undergird every Christian. The Apostle Peter describes it beautifully in 1 Peter 1, 3-5. And I read you his words. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, and it's kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's your hope and mine. That's our Christian hope. And our hope is centered in a person. It's centered in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christian hope is also centered on a place in glory. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:5 that we are to praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, we enjoy as believers many spiritual blessings. We enjoy them down here on the earth day by day, as we live for the Lord Jesus. But our greatest blessings will be when our redemption is complete. Now I want to ask you this morning the question, what about heaven? What about heaven? I've preached on this subject many times over the past 60 years. And as I read the scriptures, I see that that true believers are in an attitude of groaning after heaven. Are you groaning after heaven? Paul was groaning after heaven. He wanted to be in heaven. He wanted to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Dr. Norris, a great old Bible scholar, he said, "The joys of heaven are without example, above experience and beyond the imagination, for which the whole creation wants a comparison. We want an apprehension, and even the Word of God, a revelation." Graham Scroggie sums up his study of heaven with this testimony from Scripture. He says, "Heaven is spoken of as the Father's house in which love is sovereign, as the temple in which worship will be perfect." Excuse me. "As a city in which all the citizens live a divinely cooperative social life. As a country, a land of exquisite beauty and all riches. As an inheritance, incorruptible, undisfigured by any grave, undefiled, uncontaminated by any stain of sin, unfading, untouched by any blight of change. The future home of the believer will be infinitely wonderful and definitely beautiful. So, according to the scriptures, everything that is precious is in heaven. Your Father is in heaven. Our Saviour is in heaven. Our brothers and sisters in the faith who have gone before us are in heaven. Our name is recorded there. We are citizens of that place. Our inheritance will we get there. And as we get closer to heaven, the reality of it will become more abiding in our hearts. But in spite of these truths that we can read in the scriptures, there are many Christian believers who are confused about heaven. They believe there's something better than life. They agree with Paul that to die is gain, that it is far better to die. But they have a natural and an instinctive fear of death. I don't know whether you're like that. When you think about death, you shrink from it. There are many Christians who do that. My friends, the future shouldn't frighten us, because the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with death. He's dealt the death blow to death. And that's what the message of Easter is all about. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have a burning desire for the homeland? Do you have a burning desire for heaven? Young people are usually wrapped up in the present. Life is full. And they give very little time to the future, except when it involves their personal plans. But I want to ask you this morning, do you ever think about heaven? So when you think about heaven, you should be identifying that place where your Father is, where your Saviour is, where your brothers and sisters are. Your name is there, your inheritance is there, your citizenship is there, your Master is there, God is there, Christ is there, your treasure is there. So to sum it up, heaven is your home. We're strangers and pilgrims down here. That doesn't alter the fact that heaven is our home. We're aliens down here. We're like space travellers on a planet that doesn't belong to us. We don't belong here. Everything we love is there in heaven. Everything we cherish is in heaven. Everything valuable is in heaven. Everything eternal is in heaven. John in 1 John 2 says that all that is in the world is passing away. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Heaven is a place, and all the people who genuinely love God are either already there or they're going there one day forever. They're going to live there forever, where there will be complete perfection and glory. Now, Paul tells us that we have to live in the light of heaven. You read the letters and see what he says about heaven. In 2 Corinthians 4, This is what he says. We endure in this life suffering and troubles and conflicts. But he says, in heaven there will be glory. In the life to come, there will be glory. And as you read his letters, he indicates to us that the more we suffer here, the more glory we will get there. It's like what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel. When James and John, their mother, said, "Can we sit on your right hand in the kingdom?" And he said, "That's not for me to give, but the Father." And then the implication was, he will give it to the one who suffered most here, the one who suffered the most for his name. The more you suffer here, the greater the glory in heaven. That's the way he equalizes this. He says our momentary light affliction, this is what Paul says, our momentary light affliction is simply producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So whatever you go through here is being compensated for eternally. A little temporal trouble for a long eternal glory. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, we don't spend our time looking at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. We have an eternal perspective. Have you got an eternal perspective? We endure whatever the world has to give because we know we have a greater weight of glory in the eternity to come. We keep our focus on that truth. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, that is, we die, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, Paul is saying we have another life, we have another form, we have another house. We groan because of the infirmities of our physical being. We groan because of the sin that reigns, as it were, in our flesh. We groan because we cannot be what we ought to be and do what we ought to do. We're debilitated continuously in this human form, this human body, along with the rest of humanity. But one day there is going to be a glorious manifestation of the sons of God who are longing to be clothed with a dwelling from heaven. You and I should have a desire for our heavenly body. The Holy Spirit is the pledge of our immortality, the pledge of our new form in the glories of heaven. And in Romans 8, in verse 6, we read, being always of good courage, says Paul, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're of good courage, I say. We prefer rather to be absent from the body and be home with the Lord. Now, can you say that this morning? Can you say that the deepest desire of your heart is to be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Notice the phrase here that Paul uses, at home with the Lord. Do you want to be at home with the Lord? You know, heaven is referred to in the scripture about 550 times. Don't you think you should think about it? 550 times. The Old Testament key word for heaven is shamayin, and it literally means it's a plural. It means the heights of the height. And the New Testament word is Uranos, from which we get the planet Uranus. And it literally, so when you think of those two words, the Old Testament word and the New Testament word, you think of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2. He says, I was caught up into the third heaven. Not down. He is caught up in the heights, you see. He was caught up into the third heaven. Now that's very clearly an indication that there are three heavens. The first heaven is what we could call the atmospheric heaven. That's the place immediately above the earth. That's the air we breathe. That's generally called the troposphere. And sometimes when the Bible talks about heaven, it's referring to the first heaven. The atmosphere around the earth, it's the air that you and I breathe. It's our environment in which we live. Then there's the second heaven. The scripture refers to this as well. And that's the planetary area. That's where the stars and the moons are. That's where all the planets move about. And then there's what Paul calls the third heaven. Moving beyond the first heaven and the second heaven, we see the divine heaven. That's the place where God dwells. And that's where he dwells with his holy angels. And that's where he dwells with all the saints of all ages that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's the heaven that we're concentrating on this morning. Now, we're not in heaven yet, in case you haven't noticed. We're not in heaven. Because heaven is a place. We're not there yet. And though we're not in heaven, we are in what? The Bible says we are in the heavenlies. We're not in heaven. We're still on earth. But as believers in the Lord Jesus, filled by his Spirit, we are in the heavenlies. You say, what does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. Heaven is where God is. Heaven is where God rules. Heaven is where God dominates. We're not in the place called heaven, but we're presently under the dominion of the King of Heaven. Now, what is heaven like? Well, heaven is a new order. It's a new community of holiness. It's a place of joy and peace and holiness and love and fulfillment. And don't we experience part of that? Isn't that what we enjoy now as dedicated believers in Christ? That's the heavenlies I'm talking about. Peace and joy and holiness and love and fulfillment. That's what Paul's talking about when he speaks about the heavenlies. We're living in the Spirit, in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. The fruit of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. All of these will be the characteristics of heaven, but we're enjoying them and experiencing them now if we are a sanctified, dedicated believer. So heaven is a place, but it's also a sphere in this world where God rules and gives us a foretaste, as the hymn says, of glory divine. Now, the best of your spiritual experience is a taste of what will be commonplace in heaven. We're tasting in a small way the age to come, the glories of the life to come. So we're living now in the heavenlies, and we need to occupy ourselves with that heavenly kind of mindset. But one day, you and I, by God's grace, are going to the place called heaven. There will be, there is a place called heaven. Do you remember the magnificent prayer of Jesus in John 17? Let me read you a verse. He says, I want you to notice how he starts his prayer. He says, Father, 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 I desire that they also, talking about his and to his disciples, whom thou hast given me, will be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. So heaven is a real place. We're only now experiencing a foretaste of that place in the joy of walking with Christ, whom having not seen, we love. The joy of knowing the Spirit lives within us as a pledge that someday we'll come and be at home at that place. And by the way, the moment you leave life as a Christian, you go to that place. There's no halfway houses. There's no limbos. When you die as a believer, you go to be with the Lord. Where is the Lord? He's in heaven. Paul says, it's better to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Far better to depart and be with Christ. Now, we've sung a hymn, I don't know whether you noticed it, but we sung a hymn by Fanny Crosby this morning already, and we're going to sing another hymn by her to close the service later. And she was an American hymn writer, and I could tell you a lot about her life, but I will omit that because I think you know about Fanny Crosby, that she was blind, and she wrote more than 8,000 hymns, 8,000 hymns. And one day Fanny Crosby, she had a great anticipation of heaven. She wanted to go to heaven. She wanted to have the joy of seeing the Lord. She was blind, remember? She was blind. And she wrote a hymn. And this is what she wrote. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love and grace that prepared for me a mansion in the sky. Oh, I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. Now that's heaven for Fanny Crosby. She couldn't see in this life, but she will be given spiritual eyes. Her blindness will be gone, and she will see her Saviour face to face. Now I want to just to try to sum up what I've been saying there this morning. I've been trying to say to you that the Bible tells us that heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. The Bible presents us heaven as a place in contrast to the earth. It's a place, it's stable, it's secure, it's eternal. Now, where is heaven? Well, I said the scripture indicates heaven is up. You remember Stephen? He was being stoned, and as he looked up from being stoned, he saw Jesus. He looked up into heaven and saw his master and his friend. Jesus ascended into heaven. John saw the holy city coming down from heaven. Now, some have supposed heaven to be a star. Others think it's not far from this present world. Now, what we do know is that at death, the believing soul passes immediately, consciously, joyously into the presence of Christ, and such a one is at once at home with the Lord. So heaven is a place. It's a place where God is. Although God is omnipresent, present everywhere, heaven is depicted in the scriptures as his special dwelling place. Heaven is uniquely God's home. It's his command post. It's the center of operations. It's where his throne is. It's where perfect worship of him occurs. Heaven is a place is made more definite by the scripture presenting it as the scene of the present life and activity of Christ. That's where Jesus is. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father. In heaven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the first man, Adam, was from the earth. The second man, Christ, is from heaven. Mark says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he'd spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews reminds us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens into heaven itself, Jesus, the Son of God, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Do you forget to pray sometimes? I do. There's someone who never stops praying. He's at the right hand of the Father, and his name is Jesus. Heaven is a place into which God's people go at death. Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus called heaven his Father's house, and this will be a place of happiness, everlasting reward, where treasures don't rust, they don't wear out, and they never get stolen. Heaven then is a place, but it's a prepared place for a prepared people. Not everyone goes to heaven, as the world would have us believe. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Only believers will be there. A place where God is, it's a place where Jesus is, it's a place where the Holy Spirit is, it's a place where the redeemed of all the ages are. But heaven is also a place of mutual recognition. Most Christians at some time or other seek the answers to the question, shall we meet our departed loved ones again? Shall we know them? Will they know us? Do they know what's going on down here? So when we think of the affections between husband and wife, brother and sister, mother and son, father and daughter, we see that these are personal endearments of the Spirit, and they outlast all the changes of the body. You remember Moses and Elijah? They were recognized on the Mount. Stephen knew his Lord as he was being stoned. So in heaven we shall know, this is Paul speaking, we shall know even as we are known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. My friend Dr. Scroggie has said the resurrection body is the best argument for recognition. Christ's resurrection body shows us what ours will be like. If Christ was different and yet recognizable in his resurrection life, both things may be assumed and affirmed in ourselves. In other words, our resurrection bodies will be different but recognizable. So heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. Richard Baxter puts it like this in his hymn. He says, my knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. I shall be with him. I shall recognize him. I shall be with my loved ones, and I shall know them and recognize them, because heaven is a place of mutual recognition. But it's also a place of intimate fellowship. It's also a place of eternal blessedness. You know why it will be a place of eternal blessedness, a place of freedom? We will be free from sin in heaven. Sin's a terrible limitation now. But there in heaven there will be no more sin. There will be millions of sinners in heaven. Did you know that? But they will be sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, we may be freed from sin as a penalty. Through the Holy Spirit, we may be freed from sin's power. And one day, we will be freed from the very presence of sin. So, heaven is a place of freedom from sin. It's freedom from the devil, because Although the devil is active now, one day he's going to be sent and cast into the lake of fire. Heaven will be free from fear. In heaven, fear will be a complete absence. It will mean a complete absence of danger of every kind. Our fear of breakdown, our fear, the fear that paralyzes us, the fear that dominates the hearts and minds of men will be banished forever. Freedom from fear, freedom from trouble. Heaven will be a place of eternal blessedness because there will be an absence of the things that hinder and restrict us and limit us. But there's one last thing that I must mention. Heaven is a place of loving service. We read about it this morning. Here and now we're engaged in our Lord's service, I hope. But in eternity, in redeemed bodies, we are to serve Him forever. Serve Him forever. John, in his vision of heaven, tells us that God's servants shall serve Him. We should never imagine that in heaven we'll be sitting on clouds and playing harps. Heaven is a place of unhindered service. It's service that's according to our ability. No favoritism will be shown in heaven. All our service now is a preparation for then. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? So faithfulness down here qualifies us for authority and responsibility in heaven. Yes, heaven is a place of constant, happy, delightful, loving activity. Heaven is a place of unhindered worship. It'll not be the pearly gates. It won't be the jasper walls and streets. It will be worship and fellowship with our loving Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. What is heaven to you, my friends? What a wonderful heritage and hope the Christian has in heaven. The place Jesus is preparing for those that love Him. A place of mutual recognition, a place of intimate fellowship, a place of eternal blessedness, a place of loving service, a place of unhindered worship. Worship. But my friends, when we have learned all we can from Scripture about heaven, it still remains true in the words of the Apostle Paul. Listen to the words, please. He says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him." So study the Bible. See what it says about heaven. But in the end, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Heaven is the reason for existence, the purpose of redemption, the goal of history, Death will be swallowed up in victory. The triumph of the cross will be complete, and God will be all in all. But my friends, my challenge this morning is, heaven is the hope of the Christian. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Let me ask you, have you the assurance that a place in heaven awaits for you? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that gives us the assurance in our hearts that we belong to you, that we're part of your forever family. We thank you for his ministry in our lives day by day. We don't have to worry if we belong to your family, because you have prepared a place for us in glory. We thank you, Father, for that. Help us not just to live life down here, just satisfying our own needs and desires, but give us in our heart of hearts that deep desire to be with you in heaven, to have our redemption complete, and like Fanny Crosby, be able to see you, our lovely Saviour, face to face. In his name we pray. Amen.